Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The following podcast may contain discussions supported by science that may be considered dangerous to some listeners and conspiracy theorists. Discretion is advised.
The Three Down Greencast is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers, Saskatchewan's premier distillery, and by the Pilot Bowens Brewing Company, brewed in the heart of Regina.
Welcome to the Three Down Greencast. You are listening to the internet's only Key to the City of Hamilton podcast. I am Joel Gasson with John Fraser, as usual. And no, we did not receive a key to the City of Hamilton.
Nor do I ever think we would.
No, I can't imagine a world where we would, but we will get to what that is, what we're talking about there. That is a tease, as we like to call it. In the biz, we will talk about that. We'll also talk about the Riders' win over the BC Lions last week.
Yeah, wow.
We will sort of give our thoughts on the team overall, where they're at a third into the season. And once again, get the lawyers on the line. Zach Collaros is whining about getting hit while playing football.
I mean, we all know that's going to lead to a whole bunch of listens on this episode. So there we go. I'm prepared to see the numbers spike as the lawyers listen and listen and listen and be as they prepare for my defamation lawsuit against Zach Collaros.
Mm-hmm. Someone else who is now paying attention to numbers.
Who
is my fine co-host of this program, when Jonathan Q. Fraser.
Yes.
Because I have to congratulate you on achieving a new life status. You have powered up, leveled up in your real job, and you may now tell the people that we will no longer be plugging Enns Toyota on this podcast.
And that is not a slight to Enns Toyota. No, not in the slightest.
And if they still want to give us money to include them, we will gladly do that.
No, 100%. We are absolutely whores. Like, let's not pretend we aren't. If Justin Hunt calls me up and be like, John, we still need you to say nice things about Enns Toyota in your podcast, be like, all right, buddy, you know my rights. And hopefully this also leads my new employee, my new employer, Dodge City Auto, the big store on 8th Street,
it's the big store. It's the big bad store tonight.
Okay, I'm going to suggest that we actually work closely with Rock 102, especially Sully. I think we're going to need, I'm going to need to see Sully in a onesie with the one, like, arm off and to call it the big bad store tonight. But yeah, I'm the new car manager at Dodge City. So everybody that's been bugging me that's like, hey, can you get me a deal? And I'm like, no, I'm just the finance bitch. Now I actually can. I am the sales manager. I am the numbers guy now. So if you're looking for a Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, Jeep product, I am your guy. Especially if you don't want to go into any stores in Regina, you can come on up to Saskatoon. We'll make it happen nice and easy for you.
Yeah, so we basically just had to let John get that off his chest because
I would hint at it. I would be like, they really rammed the BC Lions.
I don't know. Your employer likes you being out and about and talking about such things. So
yeah, that's
which not everyone in every industry gets when you kind of do this on the side, that there is some added benefit to us doing this stuff. Not a ton, because I mean we have 7 listeners, so it's not like they're all going to suddenly go buy Dodge Rams tomorrow.
But, exactly, you know. But it'd be, not, it'd be sure nice if you did. It's actually funny. It's actually in my employment contract from the parent company. So if you're getting a chance to work at an Auto Capital Canada dealer, it's right in the contract. It says they, hey, you're welcome to do other things. We want you to be out there. Obviously, just, you know, don't do it on work hours. So that's why we will never be recording, like, from my substantially large office at the store at, yeah, it's unnecessarily big. My office, it's like I've taken all the shit off the walls in my basement just to make it feel like home a little bit, because there's a lot of wall space. So, but yeah, no, I will, we will not be recording from there. So
that's too bad. Not really. We've never did that previously. And that legitimately, we've never done that, to be fair.
No, like maybe if my house burned down and I needed someplace to record in the last second, then maybe.
Maybe. And it's not like we're on video, so no one would ever know, quite frankly.
It's quite frankly true. No, if we were on video, though, we all know I'd be doing this from the cab of a brand new Dodge Ram.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the back of a Chrysler minivan, because they're so spacious. There we go. I'm getting it in. I'm getting it all out. Getting it all. Or we could record at the top down in the Jeep Wrangler.
It might be a little windy. It is Saskatchewan, after all.
That would be kind of cool, though.
It would. I mean, I guess for you, because our thing is, even when we end up in the same city together, we never record the podcast still. So
no, we can't now.
No, have to do this over the internet and never in person. I honestly think if we ever did this thing in person, it would just somehow come out weird. Weirder.
It would. And actually, it's funny. It's funny you mention that, because when I was with Travis on Two and Out, we did one episode together at like Christmas. We were both in Lloydminster, and it was the weirdest thing ever. So I'm with you. I think this, A, it's kind of funny, and B, it's just a trend. The third one being that we have like one photo together in a decade plus of friendship.
If that even, I don't know. We may have been coincidentally in like a shot that Post Media took of a scrum at training camp in Saskatoon. That may be like the picture of us.
That's fair. other than of course us with the Colonel, which I wish you best of luck this Saturday, as I officially will not be there.
Okay. Yes. I will be. As far as I can tell, the team is basically the same, except Greg will be joining us, taking your place.
Yes.
So we will try to defend the Colonel with as much might as we can. Hopefully Don shoots really low.
Yes, again. Don, the boys are counting on you, buddy.
You said it would be extremely weird if we talked in person. It's also extremely weird. Something nice I learned
transition.
This week.
I like it. Yes.
I had to go back a little bit there. I was hoping to pull it out at that point, but then we just kind of kept talking. I realized this week, so they're handing out a key to the city of Hamilton this week. And apparently there had only been one other time, as far as anyone knows, in the city's history.
This is crazy.
This
I love
had
this.
Been handed out. And I know you know the answer, John. So there's
I do.
Really
I do. But it just,
much,
it's so good.
It's so good. I will give our fine listeners a few seconds to think about it, to be like, who do you think is the person, the only other person until this week, that has had the key to the city of Hamilton? Think about it really hard. There's been a lot of, like, obviously a lot of people that have come through there.
Like, my first thought was, like, Danny McManus.
Yeah, you'd think, like, probably for a lot of people, like, a Ticat or probably some NHL player from Hamilton.
Right, Ron Lancaster, you know, anybody on the 99 team, really. Like, Paul Osbaldeson, they're going back on that one for you. Like, Darren Flutie. Like, there's so many people from Hamilton that you're like, surely one of them has gotten the key to the city.
So, coming in August, we'll be shy... Gilius Alexander, of course, the NBA superstar for the Oklahoma City Thunder, who is in rarefied air as a guy who won the NBA MVP and playoff MVP, which is like, no one does this, frankly.
So yeah, the fact it's, like that a guy from Hamilton, it's like LeBron and MJ. Is
yeah,
literally
so the fact
the
that
list.
A guy from Hamilton has done this is pretty cool. Deserving.
Yes, 100%.
The other guy, apparently, one other guy, and it's a guy.
One other guy.
Has gotten the key to the city of Hamilton, and it has won the only Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, you may be asking to yourself, self, what did Stone Cold Steve Austin do to deserve this? Like, did he run some charity thing in Hamilton? Was he there a lot? Did he at least win a really big match in Hamilton and drew a lot of people to the city? No, he wrestled there once.
Yes,
one time,
yes.
I assume at the Cops Coliseum, and he lost to Kane. I assume he got the key like before the show and everything, so it probably didn't matter if he won or lost. Obviously, it didn't matter if he won or lost, but it's just the story just gets so good on so many levels that, as far as we know, and I assume maybe Steve's been there more than once in like house shows and that sort of thing, but I assume probably Raw was in Hamilton once. And so they probably wanted to, you know, sort of signify, you know, sort of give some credit to the moment.
Right.
And so they gave Stone Cold Steve Austin, as far as we know, the first key to the city of Hamilton just for being there.
Which is wild that there's like no, there's like not even, there's like one photo I could maybe find that's Austin getting the key to the city. Like, obviously this didn't go over well, because when you Google it, even now with this story having been broken for almost a full week, there's like no photo evidence of this.
Yeah.
Like, and like it was September of 98, so it's not like, it's not like, you know, cameras didn't exist then. Hell, we were even starting to peep into digital cameras. There's just nothing out there at all. But yeah, Stone Cold, the only other recipient of the key to the city of Hamilton.
The story I saw this on Blue Sky, the guy responding to it, Matt Tomek, he summed it up perfectly, because he said, "We're really excited because the reigning NBA MVP is accepting the key to the city today. The only other known recipient is Stone Cold Steve Austin, who wrestled here in 1998 and lost to Kane." And then that was just the quote from it, and he put, "is literally a joke they had as a throwaway line at for Leslie in Parks and Recreation." Like, yeah, that is a very Parks and Rec thing to do.
Oh, yep, in 100% would be. And now, so I've looked up that in 1998, the mayor of Hamilton, Ontario, was Robert Maxwell Morrow.
Which he sounds like he could be MJF's dad or something.
Yeah, like, and he legitimately, like, in photos, like, you know, you just kind of tell, like, that man liked wrestling, like, at least, especially during that age.
I mean, it was 98, who didn't, right?
Exactly, middle of the Attitude Era, it was cool again. But
Monday Night War is the whole thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was peak, so I have a feeling that he was just, like, maybe it was, like, a re-election thing, I'll get that youth vote by giving Stone Cold the key to the city and then, like, forgot to tell Stone Cold.
Maybe.
Like, it's just this.
Now I wonder if Steve Williams, his real name, actually has this plaque somewhere in his house. Just collecting dust in a bin somewhere, probably.
I need a 30 for 30 on this. I do. I need to find out why this happened, where it happened, how Stone Cold got involved. I need somebody to interview Stone Cold right now and see if he even remembers this, right?
Like, oh, I doubt he does. There's no way he remembers this.
This is absolutely wild. Like, because normally, like, when you're presented, at least I think, like, Key to the City, it's going to be, like, this long, drawn-out ceremony. You know, like, every press conference you've ever gone to as a newsie, that it's, like, every politician sitting there Dutch ruddering each other for 12 minutes? Mm-hmm. Or Hockey Canada. Never go to a Hockey Canada press conference. My goodness. You want to see some... okay. I'm going to off there.
There are some Hockey Canada press conferences that are worth of covering, but more so from a news perspective than a hockey perspective.
Right. But it's a whole lot of politicians. They're all talking. And, like, that's what I think when I see Key to the City. And I just cannot see 1998 Stone Cold standing for that.
No.
Like, even if he was paid to stunner somebody.
I mean, if he was paid to be there to stun someone, there would be photographic evidence of that.
There really isn't.
There would have to be. No, that's why I'm saying that obviously didn't happen. But if that were to have happened, we would have had some kind of evidence from it. Like, the WWE would have video of that.
Right. Yeah, somebody would have something.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot of keys to the city for Vancouver.
Yeah. In the replies to us, apparently, like, Toronto has for a while was handing them out like candy. Like, apparently, like, everyone who lives in Charlottetown, PEI or something, apparently is already, like, born with it. No.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that is
It's not a thing I hear much about anymore. I don't really know if cities really do all the, you know, the key to the city all that often anymore.
Well, the last one for Saskatchewan was Weston Dressler.
Okay, that's fair.
Given the key to Regina in 2014, right? So again, year after the 2013 Grey Cup, that makes sense. Kenny Shields, undated. June Kowalczyk, she's an opera singer.
Yes, of course.
1933, Al Ritchie, coach of the Regina Pats.
Okay.
And Malcolm Macbeth, president of the Weekly Newspapers Association. That's Regina, okay? Saskatoon went a little crazy for a bit during the Donnie Acheson days. They gave it to Mike Lee. They went right? Shortly after the Dome Plan failed, they went out and they gave one to Mike Weir.
Okay.
HMCS Saskatoon.
Yeah, Mike Weir's from Ontario.
Mike Weir is from Ontario.
I know he won the Masters, but he's from Ontario. Anyway.
Yes, he is very, and I can assure you, it was nowhere near the time he won the Masters, because I was in, like, high school when
he come
Masters.
To town to, like, maybe not play in, but sort of be part of the promotional tour for one of the PGA Tour Canada events at the time or something?
I think that might have been it, actually.
That sounds like something that would have happened.
Okay, you're going to love this. Okay. The Google AI overview. I just Googled Mike Weir Saskatoon. This is definitely going to be correct. Oh, no, this is fantastic. Mike Weir, the Canadian golfer, is not directly associated with Saskatoon.
Wow, you don't say.
He visited Saskatoon to raise funds for the Children's Hospital, though. So that's they feel that. Okay.
There's at least some kind of connection that you could justify having the ceremony. Okay.
100%. So HMCS Saskatoon got the key to the city. So the Navy base got the key to the city.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Just 6 months before that, Elizabeth II.
She needed that one for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Shouldn't she got one from the Queen City, not Saskatoon?
It would also make more sense. Mm-hmm. Katrina LeMaydon, that one, Kate, you know, like nail on the head.
Yep.
She is from here, Olympic speed skater. Okay, I get that one. Before that, it was 1955, where Bob Hope, famously born in London, England, in 1955 was given the key to the city of Saskatoon, and the first one, the Saskatchewan Elks Association. So, I think Stone Cold is somehow less weird than about 90% of those.
Pretty close, yeah.
Like, Dressler I get, LeMaydon I get, yep. Like, Al Ritchie I get. Past that. See, I always thought, as a kid growing up, when you were presented the key to the city, you got, like, a key to every door in the city.
Right.
So you're just, like, knocking, like, hey, come on, hey, I'm sleeping here tonight. I got the keys to the city. I'm Mike Weir.
Just sitting at home, and all of a sudden, Mike Weir walks in your front door.
Yeah. Oh, hey, they gave me the keys to this place. Now get out. I got my green jackets to display.
Yeah.
But that is,
that is quite a trip that I honestly didn't expect us to go on when we started this conversation.
No. There is the history of Saskatchewan keys to the city. That might be the most tangent of all tangents you and I have ever gone on, but I feel like we got there. I'm now so fascinated in these. Oh, did you know Winnipeg had only given out one before the year 2002?
No, because I'm not a tracker of these things. I'm not a tracker of these things.
I am now. But one other claim to fame for Chris Jericho.
Okay.
He got the key to the city in 2004, 4 full years. Oh, pardon me, this was 98. So Steve Stone Cold got a key to a Canadian city before Chris Jericho.
Yeah, okay. I can see that, though.
I now want to do a deep dive on this.
I can see that, though, because, I mean, Chris Jericho didn't get popular, really, like, WWE. Like, he was in WCW, but he was kind of a mid-card kind of guy that no one really thought about all that much unless you really watched WCW. So it's when he moved to WWE, which was kind of just before 2000 is when it really took off, right? So the Stone Cold thing would have already happened.
I'm sorry. I thought I wanted to move on, but then I saw Calgary's list. It's the most unhinged thing I've ever seen in my life.
You don't say. Okay.
Okay. Vladimir Putin.
Oh, Jesus.
Did
Daniel Dr. Smith just hand that one out?
No, in 2002, everybody attending the G8, Tony Blair, Vlad Putin, George W. Bush all got it. In 2003, Dr. Phil.
Good Lord.
Dave Bautista the key to this.
Like wrestler Dave Bautista.
Wrestler Dave Bautista.
Okay.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Fair. I'll give him that one, yeah.
Tommy Chong.
Okay.
William Shatner. That one makes sense.
All of these people must have appeared at the Stampede or something at one
point. Like, it has to be. Like Oprah Winfrey, Kevin Costner. And the last inductee for Calgary to be given a key to the city is Trooper in 2015.
I'm surprised Trooper doesn't have one in Saskatchewan.
Yes, so am I. Like, that is, like, Kenny Shields of Street Heart does, though.
Wait, Bret Hart doesn't have one?
That is the, yes, thank you for putting that together. That is the biggest woof.
Dave Bautista not have Bret Hart on there? Like, potentially the most world-famous Calgarian is Sherry.
You named a fucking hockey team after him.
Well, he kind of bought into the team and did it, but yes.
Doesn't matter. They still kept that name. When he got out, they still kept that name, right?
Yeah.
And I will give kudos to Edmonton for doing something right. The only person to receive the key to the city of Edmonton in its history, Wayne Gretzky.
Which should probably be revoked now. Being honest.
You're not wrong. You are not.
Take it out
wrong.
Of his hands, give it to Connor McDavid.
Yeah. Well, now you know somebody's gonna listen to this and they're gonna give it to McJesus.
Hopefully.
Well, maybe they got to make him win a cup first.
It's been bad luck. He'll get one. They'll get it.
That's a spicy take.
That Connor McDavid will eventually win a Stanley Cup? No, I don't think that's spicy.
In Edmonton?
Sure, why not?
Not a chance he wins one in Edmonton.
They've been close, so I mean.
Not a chance. Not a chance he wins one in Edmonton because he's leaving next year.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll go with that.
We will also discuss whether the Saskatchewan Roughriders have a chance at a Grey Cup this year. As we are almost 20 minutes into this thing, and we're finally almost getting to the point of this episode. Not brought to you by Dodge City, the big store. God.
The big.
Unless they want it to be, then it can be. If they really want to sponsor this tremendous content of the last 20 minutes, they're more than welcome to.
The Dodge City preamble. Oh god, do you think, like, I feel like we need to apologize to Lucky Bastard and Pile of Bones for this one.
Maybe. I mean, we haven't mentioned them through any of that bullshit, so
everybody, I feel like everybody but Dave and Grammy have tuned out by now
for sure, no question. So we will talk about the Riders' win over BC, kind of take a look at them through a third of the season, and talk about Zach Collaros whining once again. But as always, John, because you brought them up for the Pile of Bones Brewing Company, what is in the glass this week?
Well, I was going to do a live. I'm still going to do a live on-air taste test, but that just meant I had more time to drink the scotch that my dad got me for getting my new job at Dodge City. Mm-hmm. So I'm passed into a glass of scotch. So now time for a live test of Rybernate Rye IPA from Sleeping Giant Brewing Company, just brought back to me from Lacey and the kids as they return from Ontario. So we're going to do a live test of Rybernate.
The anticipation.
It's like a hoppy winter, and I'm really on board with it.
Great for the middle of July.
It's kind of cold in my basement.
It is. I know that.
It really is.
It is. But it does get chilly down there, no question.
Yeah, so the Rybernate is quite good. I find sometimes the winter beers, they don't have the same like hoppy punch that I like, but it's got a nice blend of spices, amber, and of course, really nice IPA taste. And that's even after waiting the entire 20-minute preamble.
Yeah, we were letting it warm up a little bit, so the flavors really came out.
Actually, you know what? It is perfect drinking temperature.
That's why we rambled on for so long.
How about you, Gas? What's in the glass?
For me, I teased you with this one last week. It is the, on like between us talking, not on the podcast, obviously.
Yes.
The Living and Dying in Central Standard Time by Multinational.
Yes.
It's the one with the boat on the front of it. It is one of their world famous NIPAs. And it's not a juice bomb. It's a little hoppier than some of their other ones, which is enjoyable. I love all NIPAs. Like, I am that typical craft beer nerd who likes New England IPAs. I'm not afraid to admit it. I don't care what you think. If you think they're a dumb fad or not, they are delicious, and Multinational makes really, really good ones.
And they're not going anywhere away because, again, they've kind of caught on.
Mm-hmm. They do very well. And I notice at my real job, they tend to move faster than any other multinational product, so I always add a few extra flats to my order.
You know, Jackie when they're coming Chan. In. Jackie Chan has a key to the city of Toronto.
That, yeah.
I'm fully down the rabbit hole. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm closing that tab. Closing that tab.
We can start a new segment next week saying, did you know this person had a key to a city?
Yes, we can.
We can start doing that. A little weekly segment about someone in Canada with a really weird key to the city.
Okay, done. Done. It is decided.
It is decided. The Saskatchewan Roughriders decidedly beat the BC Lions.
Oh, yeah.
Last week by a score. I know it sounds, you all know by now, I'm not surprising anyone with the score of this game, 33-27. If you are, sorry, it was a blowout, even though it wasn't. It was an interesting football game.
Yes.
I don't really know what to make fully of it. They came out, the Riders were hot. They looked good. They took a pretty good lead. And then they did Rider things and kind of played with their food a little bit and let the BC Lions just kind of hang around and hang around and hang around until it kind of got close at the end. But I was sitting there watching this. I was like, I was never in a spot where I thought, oh, they're going to blow this. But right. It just kind of, even as it kept closer and closer and closer, I was like, no, you just never got that vibe. And I mean, I guess that's a good thing. It's good that you know that, like, if you're a fan of this team, that they can control a football game in the way they did. But for as many points as were scored, it was also one of the most boring football games I've ever watched.
Yeah, it was like they went up early. They went up quick. They went up early. And you're right, Gas. Like, they were playing so well. And it's not that BC was playing atrociously. I mean, Nathan Rourke was okay.
We know that they're going to go as far as Nathan Rourke takes them. And he wasn't, and like full disclosure, I thought Nathan Rourke was going to come in there and do what VA did to the Riders a week before. Like we've seen Zach Kolaris do to the Riders a bunch of times too. Oh, he's an elite quarterback. He's going to come in and pick the zone defense apart. And just didn't happen.
No, and the difference being too, I think the Riders' ability to actually run the ball this week.
Yeah.
Right? You know, AJ Olette getting 72 yards, Tommy Stevens like 20 yards, and Kadeem Carey, I'm glad I have not seen the hit.
Yep.
You know it's bad when they like don't show it coming back from
break. Well, they showed it coming back from break, but from like a very far behind angle where all you really saw was, yeah, he got hit. Beyond that, they were like, we're not showing you anything else. I'm like, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because before they cut to break, you saw Carey lying on the ground, and I was like, something's not where it's supposed to be. I'm not entirely sure what. I don't want
like a jigsaw puzzle.
I don't want to see this. And even live, when the hit happened, I was like, I don't want to see this replay.
Well, and you knew it was bad because they dumped a commercial like instant.
Yeah.
Like you knew that the stretch of the cart, somebody was coming on.
The wildest thing is then they had him like one hop off the field. They're like, what? Where's the cart? What are we doing here, boys? Like,
right? Like, isn't that what the cart is for? Like, again, maybe I've heard from some guys that are in such shock after devastating injuries like that, that they just like get up and basically their body's on autopilot, right? But
maybe.
But even at that, he had 12 yards. So you're looking, put it all together, over 100 yards rushing. And to me, that's the difference. If you can stop the Riders' run, you know what Trevor Harris is going to be. And not that that is a bad thing. I'm not saying, but you know that you're going to see a high completion percentage, not a lot of deep shots. There were a couple in this game, but if you eliminate the run, the Riders are going to look really bad. BC was unable to do that. You're right. I thought the defense played way better. It's good to see that they took that Calgary loss that, much like this, that Calgary loss shows better on the scoreboard than it does, you know, if you actually watch the game. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see they actually were able to improve upon that, because I was a little worried. I was thinking the same thing. Nathan Rourke, zone defense, elite quarterback can do that thing, but everybody stepped up, did their jobs, and yeah, this one to me was never really in doubt after the first quarter.
No, it was a professional outing by a professional team, which I think is sort of the way we talked about them the week before, but in a positive manner, right? Like against Calgary, they needed that. They needed a little extra juice to try and get over the hump after everything that happened the day before. This week, everything was normal, business-like approach.
Yep.
It came out and it worked.
Yeah. And that has been this team for the better part of the last two seasons under Corey Mace. And, you know, it's working. It's one of those things that makes me wonder if it'll work come playoff time, or work, you know, maybe when somebody makes you bleed your own blood early, because this team, especially this defense, has been getting off to gangbuster starts early on, and that is going to regress to the mean at some point.
Well, it already has, and we might as well just move into it now.
Jump into it, yeah.
We're now a third of the way into the season. The Riders will play the Edmonton Elks on Friday night, the pregame to the Stadnik Invitational on Saturday, of course. And It's an interesting spot this team is in. This is kind of one of those points of the year. There's kind of like the third, the halfway point, or kind of two big sort of milestones within a season where you start to try and get a grasp of what a team is.
Yes.
And where they are. And I think the best way to describe the Saskatchewan Roughriders right now is they're basically the same as last year. And that's okay. But I think for a team that had Grey Cup aspirations and still has Grey Cup aspirations, and to be clear, despite everything I'm about to say, very well could still win the Grey Cup. There is a lot of runway left here. A lot of things can change in the Canadian Football League over two-thirds of a season. There's absolutely no question about that. The last two Grey Cup champs were dog shit at the halfway point of last year, right? So
yes,
a lot can happen, to be clear. But I'm not sure at this point right now if we can sit here and say that the Saskatchewan Roughriders are a better football team than they were last year and are clearly on the path to winning a Grey Cup, because I have some questions that they need to answer. I think, number one, you brought up the defense.
Yeah.
They're fine. They're playing well. They do what they've been doing. The problem is, and this was bound to happen, we're seeing, you know, the volume of turnovers that you created last year that helped them be the team they were is obviously regressing to the mean a little bit.
As you mentioned, we knew it would. There's no way
we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So on the flip side, where would the sort of difference maker be? And we thought, you know, with, you know, bringing Micah Johnson back, bringing in a Mike Rose, these sorts of things, we expected the defensive line to maybe carry more of the load this year. And we haven't quite seen that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the defensive line's been fine. Like, obviously, you know, Carney's been really good. Some of these other guys have been really good, and they've been getting some pressure, but I don't know if it's been a consistent enough amount of pressure to really give the defense, you know, a better shot, because we know how their zone defense plays, and it's going to require a defensive line causing more havoc this year than they did last year, I think, to create the turnovers and sort of make the big plays that they need to make.
Well, you can't just let experienced quarterbacks sit in the pocket against a zone defense. You need that pressure. You need it to come, whether you're going to start blitzing more, whether you're going to start disguising it, or just straight from defensive line play.
Right now it's looking like they're probably going to have to beat the Calgary Stampeders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, or at least one of them, to get to the Grey Cup.
Yes.
And we know Winnipeg knows how to beat this team. And clearly now Calgary knows how to beat this team. So how do they adjust and how do they figure that out, especially on defense, is going to be, you know, sort of the big question mark as to whether they actually ultimately achieve their goal this year or not. More of my questions actually lay with the offense, because I think the defense is fine. They'll be good enough for them to win.
Yeah. And again, turnovers are not a sustainable stat.
No, they're not. They're not at all.
Like, they're, to me, a turnover, unless it's a fumble, a strip sack, something like that, is often created by a poor decision-making by, you know, the other quarterback. Whether that's because they're being pressured or whether that's they're just not very good at playing professional football. You know, you see the throw go the wrong way, guys get underthrown, guys get overthrown, that, you know, guys trying too much, and that leads to turnovers. I think you're right. The defense is fine.
Yeah.
And I think in this league, you just kind of have to be fine, right? Like, right now, going strictly on points against, they are third in the West. Now, again, they've played one more game than Winnipeg. So, I think, to me, the defense is, to quote Dennis Green, they are who we thought they are. But you're right, the offense, to me, although trudging along and looking good, very good at moments, and actually right now, second in the West Division, third in the league in points four, is where most of my questions lie.
Yeah, and we've had our questions about Trevor Harris before. Like, you and I have been open about our thought on whether he is a guy that can truly pull this team out of the fire in a game
when
something is going wrong, which is bound to happen at some point in a key moment.
Right. He is the model quarterback.
Yep.
If you go up 7-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
There's nobody else, I would dare say, in professional football, you want more than Trevor Harris right now. If your team is playing well, you go up early, 7-0, 10-0, good night, ball game, it's done. That offense is not falling apart.
Yeah, because he rarely turns the ball over. You know, all the things that coaches like to see these days, he does.
Yes.
But that's not really the main point here. Like, it is obviously still a point, and it'll remain a point until he proves otherwise. I'm a little worried about his arm, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, it doesn't. And I know the broadcast didn't make much of it, but you can tell when he's going deep, there's a little bit something missing off of it.
Yeah, and like most of the deeps are okay because like he's throwing the big arc and you don't necessarily really need a cannon for that.
The old Russell Wilson moonball, right?
Like for me, my concern is sort of those intermediate ones where sometimes you need to power one through there.
Yeah.
And we haven't really
seen it. Break a guy's hands like Brett Favre used to.
We haven't really seen it in the last couple of weeks.
No.
And there was one over the middle against Calgary. I forget exactly when that kind of stood out, but even we noted during that game was like his throws aren't that strong. So that's something to kind of keep an eye on. And also like to the point that Trevor Harris coming into this game and Peter Kalina, our colleague on Three Down Nation, brought up the stat that Trevor Harris was ninth in sort of depth of field for completions coming into last week. So the fact is they're not pushing the ball down the field all that deep. They did a little bit more against BC, but
which I love, by the way.
Yeah. So they got to keep that up and they got to keep it going. But I do have concerns about where his arm is at. The upside to that is if there is an issue there, it seems Trevor Harris is aware of it enough that he's throwing sort of a softer ball in still the safer spot. He's not trying to be the gunslinger still and hammer it into spots that he can't do it anymore. Like there was that throw Nathan Rourke made to the corner of the end zone.
Oh, that was beautiful.
And I was like, I don't think Trevor can make that throw anymore at this point.
No.
And I said that to you. So I think that's a concern. And just the general malaise of the offense at times where, they're still going silent for a quarter. Basically, you can count on them not scoring a point in a quarter of any game. And it just feels like they're not attacking as much as they did last year. Like last year, especially early on, we saw them like over the middle. Like there was a good, let's say 12-yard average. I don't know the exact number, but it felt like they were pushing the ball down the field when they were passing. And I'm just not noticing that this year as much. And I don't know if that's because of Trevor Harris or if that's Mark Mueller switching things up and doing things differently or what the case is. But this all just kind of, again, leads to the grand picture of I think the Riders are still a good team. I think they are still in the mix. I don't know if they've really improved, and I don't know if you can really put them at the top in terms of Grey Cup contenders right now.
I would agree with all those points, and especially because you're going to have such a tough path through the West.
Yeah.
Right? Like, to me, everything we've just said about Saskatchewan, you can basically say about anybody in the East. I don't think anybody in the East has gotten better.
I think Hamilton has. I look at the Hamilton Ticats right now, and my colleagues don't seem to agree with me at Three Down Nation, but for the last few weeks, I keep putting them number two in our power rankings. I think they are that team right now in the East.
I think if this team is going to be the 18-wheeler that falls off the cliff like they were in the middle of last season, it won't be because of the defense. It'll be because of the offense, right? You can next time you're watching a Rider game, watch Trevor, and you're going to see a very cerebral guy. I don't know if he's banged up. I don't know if Jake Mayer was so much worse than anybody thought. And I was even like, yeah, I think Mayer's okay. He, kind of pushed Bo Levi out of a job. And then you look at what Calgary's doing with Vernon Adams back there. You're going, oh, okay, that all might have been Jake's fault. Like, I know we are kind of blaming Craig, but again, it's the old chicken before the egg situation. So I do think this year, though, and I say this as someone that watches, again, all of Winnipeg's games all the time. I would say they're better than Winnipeg this year.
I don't know.
I think
Winnipeg got a tough go against Calgary the last couple of weeks. I think Winnipeg's offense has actually gotten better without Buck Pierce.
Yeah, but
so
guys are falling off the map. That's the problem. Like I was having this discussion with my friend Mike. We went for beers the other night, and it's the pieces as Winnipeg ages. The key pieces are going to continue to miss games.
Of course.
And if everybody's in the lineup, you're right. They can go Death Star mode. But the problem is when you're relying on so many old bodies, or a guy like Dalton Schoen, who's seemingly made of glass, like, I don't know. And I look at that Saskatchewan receiving core, and I'm like, well, maybe they're better. And, Winnipeg's been able to just, basically put anybody in at running back and have success. But for all the shit we give Zach Collaros and his inability to come up when it matters, in the regular season, you basically can't beat Zach Collaros unless you're Vernon Adams this year, or Bo Levi, I guess. But it, I don't know. Watching both of these teams, I think Saskatchewan's defense is better than Winnipeg. And I think fully healthy, head-to-head, yeah, Winnipeg's, their offense is way better. But I don't see a world where that old-ass Winnipeg team is any better than Saskatchewan.
It'll come down to what it looks like at the end of the year. I think Winnipeg, the process of what's going on in Winnipeg, to me, makes sense. I think they realized last year that it you just have to float. You just have to tread water right now. That's what it feels like the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are kind of doing to me, doing right now. And we'll see in the back half of the year if they turn it on again or not. Well, and I think the capability is right there to do it again.
And we all know Winnipeg's biggest edge, because Brett Lowther has looked shaky this year.
As he always does before mid, late August.
Again, Winnipeg's got our boy.
Yeah, for sure. They do.
Boy who just played his 100th game. By the way, speaking of milestones, there you go. Sergio Castillo, 100th game in the league. Let's go, buddy.
A guy who may have had his 100th wine.
And not glass of wine.
No, this week. He's probably had more than that, I would assume. Would be Blue Bombers quarterback Zach Collaros.
The aforementioned Mr. Collaros.
Yes. We all saw last week he took a big hit against the Calgary Stampeders. He took a traditional wrestling spear, not a spear with the helmet, not like a football spear like we would talk about. If it was a football spear, then I would understand where we were going with this.
Right. Instead, you got Goldberg. You got somebody that walked up and gave you the old spear and broke you in half.
Yeah. So he missed the end of that game, not necessarily because of the hit itself, but just sort of the aftermath of it, because like his head bonked off the turf.
Yeah.
And with him, as soon as that happens, he's done. You do not risk putting Zach Collaros back in that game.
Especially in July.
Yeah. By all accounts, he's going to be okay. He appeared on the Blue Bomber podcast. He was at practice. He's going to play, apparently. The interesting thing was he was obviously, of course, available after practice. And he's, again, asked about the hit. Fair question. Absolutely. He should be asked about it.
Yes.
And he is free to answer it any way he wishes, which is, we appreciate that about him. But he is, again, complaining because he got hit. And he's talking about how he thought it was light and it should have been a penalty. When I have no idea how or in what world that is, especially in the same week when Ottawa Redblacks quarterback Drew Brown got decapitated on the field with what was legitimately what they called the grade 2 roughing the passer call, and something that should be looked at potentially as being kicked out of the game going forward. I think there's no question about that. Drew Brown, his reaction to the hit was, well, that's football. It happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I know we've all moved kind of past that mentality with brain injuries and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But in today's day and age, the quarterbacks are more protected than ever, as they should be.
Yeah.
Right. They are the game. In today's day and age, if you've got, the second Zach hit the turf, somebody in command center, you've got one of the officials on their fancy ass headsets going, okay, tell me if that's light. Right. Because that is the way the CFL officiating is set up, that to protect the quarterbacks and protect our players, if somebody's hit, we're taking a look at it at that second. Mm-hmm. You know, there doesn't need to be a challenge. There doesn't need to be a review. It is just, we're taking a look at it. And third, Mike O'Shea stands up for his guys.
Yeah. I didn't hear anything from Mike on that front this week.
In the article, 3downnation.com, late or not, I didn't think we were going to win a challenge. Is the quote from Mike O'Shea.
That's as close as from Mike you're going to get to saying it wasn't a Bentley.
Exactly, because Mike, you've seen before, Mike O'Shea has thrown the flag for his guys on challenges he knew he was going to lose.
I mean, right? Wade Miller didn't even appear in the Winnipeg Free Press complaining this time.
I don't know. Has he been on the coaches? Has he been on with our boy DT at all? Or
I don't think so, no. So I haven't been following it. But I assume someone would have told us, or I would have heard of it by now if Wade Miller had said something about this.
Right. I just think it becomes the boy that cried wolf. Mm. right? There comes a time that you are going to get hit. It's going to be marginal and you're going to want to speak up. But because you're speaking up over what was a clean hit with an unfortunate consequence, yep, and a coach who knows this is a game in July, it doesn't matter if I win, I need my quarterback ready for November.
Jason Moss.
Yeah, there you go. Right? Right? There is a veteran coach pulling his guy out with the history of concussions going, yeah, no, you're not playing this one for the rest of the game. So it's it comes off as soft. It's the boy that cried wolf, because there is going to be a time, I'm sure, and probably this season, that Zach's going to get hit. It's going to be worth bitching. And when he bitches, nobody's going to listen.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance in the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Yeah.